opinion with this one, say it in modem, you give me another opinion, maybe it should be said like Rabbi Yekibu said, negative brother. I don't know, he says, whether to accept your opinion, the other opinion, but I do know that I have a different tradition. And what is that different tradition? I know the tradition of what did Rav and Shmuel say. Ditakinu lon marganisa bavavel. I know that the two of them gave us a very precious pearl in Babylonia. What does he mean by a precious pearl? By that it means a beautiful teaching, you know, that we should all go, guide. And what is it? Batodiyenu Arishem Alekenu es mishpatei tzidkecho. Thou, O Lord, our God, has taught us thy righteous statutes. Batalamdeinu naseh tzidkei v'tzonecho, and has taught us how to perform those laws, you know, those chukim, those statutes, according to thy will. Batam chilenu zmane soson, and in accordance with thy will, that has enabled us to inherit festivals of joy, v'chagin edova, and festivals wherein we bring free will offerings, v'torishenu kedusha shabbos, and also you have enabled us to inherit the sanctity of the shabbos, uchbod moed, and also the honor due to the festival, v'chagigas horegel, and also the celebration that we should have for the festival. Of course, literally, Chagigah means the offerings associated with the various festivals. Ben Kedusha Shabbos Kedushas Yom Tov Hibdalto. You made a distinction between the sanctity of the Shabbos and the sanctity of Yom Tov. Yes, Yom HaShvi'i Mishishi Ma'aser Kedashta, right, and the difference between the seventh day and the 6 days of labor. You have sanctified, right? The difference between them. Hidalto v'kidashto esamcho yisur v'dushosecho. You have made a separation. You have sanctified your people Israel in thy holiness. V'atiten lono. In other words, what is he saying? Saying that the text of the Hadolah that we should say on the Yontov, when it is Moitzei Shabbos, is to say it as follows. This includes the idea of Shabbos, of Yontov, the Kedusha of both of them, but the distinction in Kedusha between them, right? And Vatodienu, that's also the idea of wisdom and knowledge in that, you know, that we are able to distinguish, understand, to know how to distinguish between them. And then, of course, what follows is Vatitan Norishon Lekin Miyavo, Medim Simcha, right? So, in other words, we see now, where does it go? Does it go as a separate bracha? No. Does it go as in modem? No. Where does it go? It goes in the first bracha that we say for Yontov. Atov v'chaton mikol ha'amim, haftei soros yisabon, antov v'chal shonos, v'kleshtom tisecho, v'kevton malki v'tsecho, shim ha'agul ha'kod, shim ha'agul mikol osho. And then if it's Moitzei Shabbos, then we say v'atodiyen. And this is exactly the text that we find in all our Sidur Masor. Right. So in this particular case, we follow the practice of Rami Shmuel, and this is what we observe.
So actually, though,
day.
You're saying is you're making Kiddush first, and then you're making the Abdullah. When you're on Yom Tov,
okay.
You're making Kiddush first.
Good. You're absolutely right. In the Shmon Esra, that follows, you know, Atova Chatona, right, so and so forth. But actually, this is part of the Kiddush Hayom.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
so, but you're saying Kiddush.
And then when we make Kiddush at home on Moitzoi, you know, on Yontov, Moitzoi Shabbos, then in that particular case, what is the order? The Maybe order is first Borei Pri HaGofen, okay? Kiddush. Then follows Kiddush, and then follows. No, next thing that follows is Neir. We have to make Borei Mori Hawesh on Saturday night at home. We still have to say that, bro. Okay? It's Yayin, Kiddush, okay? Neir, then comes Abdullah, in other words, in other words, the conclusion of this is what we add to what we say. What? Hamavdil Bein Kodesh LeKodesh. This is what we say, Bein Kodesh LeKodesh.
One
type of holiness to the other, right? And then after that comes Shehechiyon, as we say, right? So this is the order in which it comes. Yeah. Yain, Kiddush, right? Ner, Avdola, and Zman.
Yeah, doesn't
actually have
No, because this is the text that we say in the Shmona Esrei.
Okay.
But at home when we make it, we still include most of the text that we have over here. Not Batodiyena, because that belongs to the Shmona Esrei.
Right. Okay.
But the idea, you know, Ben Kedusha Shabbos, Kedusha Yom Tov, etc., to the end of this, this is also incorporated in the bracha that we make as part of the Kiddush on a yontav which occurs on a Saturday night. Okay,
that's,
with
that's
this
interesting,
yes.
Though. But if, yeah. if it's Saturday night and it's yontav, okay.
Yeah.
If it's Saturday night yontav.
Yeah.
Already by the time you're saying Kiddush,
yeah,
the candles are lit, right? So it's yontav already, right?
Yeah, the candles should be lit before.
It's lit before. So you mean? So what do you use as a light? You light an Abdullah candle?
Ah. No. You don't use Abdullah candle on the Yom Tov. What you do use is the candles that have been lit at home.
Okay, that's how it
is. Yeah, candles have been lit at home.
You
can hold them, the two of them, close to each other. You don't really
have to make one flame?
Don't really have to make one flame. Oh. No. That we do Saturday night.
Yeah,
but you don't have to do it on
Yom
Tov.
But you're not supposed to do things like that on Yom Tov. You're not supposed to do.
Well, no, it's not exactly, because of the fact that you see, there's a difference between a Yom Tov, which is not Shabbos, in that we are permitted to do certain labors that are prohibited on the Shabbos, specifically cooking, carrying. These may be done. Now, if cooking is permissible, therefore it means that fire is also permissible. Which means, therefore, that the leichter, the candlesticks or the candles, which are muktzah on Shabbos, you're not allowed to touch them from the time that they are lit until after Shabbos is over. Not allowed to touch them. But on Yom Tov, you can. You can move it around if you want to. You could light a cigarette from it, which I wouldn't recommend, but for other reasons, but nevertheless, it's permissible to do it. If the fire goes out and you need a flame, you know, from the candle, you're certainly permitted.
But you're not allowed to ride, you're not allowed to put on lights?
That's correct. Those things you're not allowed to do. Yeah.
Okay. Until after the final.
Lights, I mean, you're not allowed to put on electricity, is what you mean.
Same.
Right. But if you wanted to add more candles than the two that you have, let's say, there's no law against that.
No.
You could put in candles in every room if you wanted. That you're permitted to do.
Yeah.
But it must always be from a flame which is already in existence.
So if you've got a dimmer switch, you can raise that and lower that on the other.
Well, in general, we say not to touch any electrical appliances on your.
But let me ask something.
It's
you're
a big problem
book.
With electricity
you,
on your.
You
tip,
can
yeah.
raise and lower a gas flame as long as you don't put it out.
Correct.
Why then can't you raise and lower an electric?
Technically, it may be permissible, but we don't want to give too many heterum about electricity,
well,
because then people will be putting off lights and putting on lights, you know, at will, and would destroy the kedusha of Yom Tov.
But you say you're allowed to cook.
Yes.
Now, if you cook with electricity, not necessarily gas flame, not everybody uses gas, you use electricity. You're turning on and off the gas.
No, but you leave the light on.
But you leave it on, that's the answer.
But with an electric.
You wouldn't
extinguish it. I'm talking about Shabbos, I'm talking about Yom Tov.
Even on Yom Tov, you would not extinguish it.
But on an electric stove, you could raise and lower the flame as you don't, raise and lower the heat as long as you don't turn it up. I mean,
I realize you.
Well, you're saying that there's questions, but.
Right.
So you're using it for a different purpose.
Right.
You're not just turning a light on.
Yeah, I have to tell you, in all honesty, that with electricity on Yom Tov, it's one of these shilas that you have authorities one way, authorities the other way, and so on. But, you know, if we want to be on the right side, then we're more machbir in these things.
You're recording.
Yeah. I'm recording. Wait.
Lamadala.
All right. I just wanted to remind you that I told you last week that the next three Wednesday nights are out, because next week it'll be Tzom Gedalia and we'll be starved. I'll be rushing home to get a bite to eat and tired out from Rosh Hashanah and everything else. So I'll cancel. And then next Wednesday night, I think we have to wait for the chauffeur to sound the end of Nila or so. So we'll be otherwise occupied too. And the Wednesday night after that will be Chol HaMoed Sukkot, the first day of Chol HaMoed, and hopefully I'll be in New York at that time. So we'll meet then the first Wednesday right after Simchas Torah, the day after Simchas Torah. Okay, we'll meet at that time. Now, I don't remember what the time is getting. Oh, wait a minute, I got a bulletin over here. It may be that Mincha will be earlier.
October 2nd?
Yeah. So that may be what we'll do after the Mincha. Maybe we'll go home and we'll eat. So we'll meet, I would think, about 7:30 in the evening. Is that okay?
Yeah, sure.
Because by then, we'll probably be at about a 6 o'clock Mincha or something like that. You see? So naturally, we're all entitled to go home and to eat something too, you know.
Right. So we'll reconvene clearly at 7:30.
Yeah, so let's say, 7:30, three weeks from tonight, which would be October the 2nd. That's when we'll meet again. Okay?
Oh, Hashem.
Right. Yes, Hashem. Pardon me?
4 weeks.
Right, it'll be 4 weeks from tonight. The next 3 weeks we won't meet, but we'll meet 4 weeks from tonight. Absolutely right. Okay. Meantime, I brought a little gift for all of you. With the compliments of my son-in-law's yeshiva, or David.
That's nice.
Yes. So let me just say a word first of all about this little publication. The Sefer HaChinuch is one of the great classics in Jewish literature, and the Mechaber, you know, the author of the Sefer HaChinuch, took the Sedra week by week and he divided into what mitzvahs do we learn from it. In other words, let's say in Bereishis, where you have where it says Puruvu and so on, so then that would be the first mitzvah that he discusses. And he divides it on the basis of affirmative commandments and negative commandments. Now, what they did in this particular book, and incidentally you see that it has not only a connection with my son-in-law's yeshiva or David, and the school started already this year, and with God's help, the school is packed with students. Thank God.
Thank God.
I hope they pay their bills. So, also, if you'll take a look, you'll see that Phil Schwartz actually, they are recognized, well, I don't know whether he on the road, but, you know, he gave a very nice contribution to the shul, to the school, so as a result, my son-in-law wanted to honor Philip Schwartz.
Who is Philip Schwartz?
Philip Schwartz? On Tuesday and Thursday mornings, it seems to be over
the
here.
Pharmacy.
Right.
He owns the pharmacy. I didn't know him by name, but I know by sight.
Right.
The guy who drives the Mercedes or the Jaguar or whatever.
Well, whatever, it's not a bad car.
Yeah, that's the guy. I know them by their cars.
Right. So it's a very appropriate work because this is, you know, various mitzvahs that we derive for the various Yomim Tovim that we celebrate during the month of Tishrei. And since we should bone up a little bit on the various dinim and so on and so forth, it's part of the mitzvah celebrating it. So please enjoy it.
Thank you very much.
My compliments.
Phil, why are you being so nice to us? We thought we a little gesture and a little something up in Nayim Yor. It's great to have.
Listen, I don't expect anything.
That's why it's good to give you something.
It wouldn't mean anything.
You can open it.
Thank you very much.
You want to send a tape recorder on or off of it?
They're going to play up.
Lamadalad.
Yeah, Lamadalad, right? Omadalad. Correct. Okay. All right, I'm going to review again from the top of the page the Mishnah over there that we did at the end of last session. First of all, Irv wasn't here last time.
Right.
And I want to be recorded for posterity, at least as far as this mission is concerned.
Exactly, exactly. Thank you. It was unavoidable. I couldn't avoid it.
Listen, I know. You were really very, very occupied at that time.
Yeah.
And, okay, I explained last time, the first part of the Mishnah over here is in brackets. So, Omer Yivorchu Chotovim HaRezid Achiminos. Okay, first of all, what does it say? It says that if a person says, may good people bless you, then this is a form of apostasy. Okay? Now, why is this a form of apostasy? The answer being, because it gives the impression that only good people should thank God, whereas we have a principle that everybody should thank God. So that this is why there's a question, first of all, about the word. Secondly, I have to tell you, in the text of a Mishnayos, you don't find this particular phrase. Instead, this comes from the Gemara in Megillah, where we have this phrase quoted again. And so, as we would say, the copyist, or the Bocha Hazetzer, as we would say, he copied it down. And this is why it's there. But because it was questionable as to whether it's really part of the Mishnah over here, this is why it's in parentheses. Okay. But what is no question about is the rest of the Mishnah. And that deals with the person who goes up to the altar, all right? And it says, if a person is literally passing before the table, but what it means is that he is, the table, by the way, what does table mean? It's a good question. Table, in the sense over here, is really like the, is like the Orin Kodesh. So that, you see, the word table in Hebrew has different meanings, okay? But it is a synonym also for the word aron, and therefore this is really the meaning of it in the Mishnah over here. A person is standing in front of the Aron Kodesh, and he's davening for the Aron, as we would say, okay? The Torah, and he made a mistake. As I told you, first of all, in those days they had no Siddurim. So if a person tried to remember by heart, you know, the Nusach of the Tefillah, at times they would make mistakes. So here we had a chazan, he got stuck, and needless to say, he got embarrassed. He couldn't remember where to go, what he says next. He didn't remember what is the Nusach, as we would say. In other words, what is the correct formulation of the bracha for him to recite. So it says in that particular case, Yavor Achir Tachto. Then another guy gets up over there to daven in his place. I mean, you have to help a person out, so this is what they do. All right? Now, it also says, V'lo yehi sar v'bi'as ashor. And the second guy should not be stubborn by refusing at that particular moment to go up to daven for the omen. Normally, as we'll see in the Gemara in just a moment, there's a certain etiquette that is there. And I'll quote you the Rashi right now from the Gemara, because he explains what is the etiquette. The Gemara says, as we'll see in a second, that the person is asked, let's say the Gabbai comes in and he says, please, we want you to daven for the Yomid, then the right etiquette is, the first time you say, no, I don't want it. Then the Gabbai has to say, ah, please, go up and daven. So he says, well, maybe. The third time he says, okay, I'm going. So of course Rashi wants to know why. I mean, why shouldn't he go up immediately?
Right.
Okay. So the answer that they give is that it shouldn't seem, you know, that he's so stuck up, I mean, so enamored of his own ability to daven and his own voice and so on and so forth. He should have humility in going up to daven. This is basically the idea. So that this is why they say it, because otherwise we're liable to be found without anybody wants to go up to the oven. That's an even worse catastrophe.
If you're a mourner, do you have to go through this etiquette?
Oh, no. No. I mean, normally the Gabbai will tell you. There's no question. I mean, the Shulchan Aruch, you know, well, they'll quote it pro forma, because after all, it's an old tradition. But nevertheless, when it comes to practicalities, the shul can't always work on that basis that you have to be begged to daven three times before you go. You understand? So obviously, if you are, you know, a mourner, person, for example, who's sitting shiva, he has priority. Daven. Person who is observing shloshim has a priority. A person who has a yortzeit, he has a priority. A person then, you know, who the shloshim has passed, But he's still within, you know, the first 12 months or the first 11 months. I mean, he has a priority.
I think we almost recognize that you have to have a little humility too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In the sense that you don't want to say, oh, he's terrible. I'm better. That, you know, because we can't have people who, let's say, maybe my point is wrong, but some people get up and they'll daven terrible. But you have to be patient and have understanding. And rather than say, well, let's get rid of him, I'm better.
But there are rules for that.
Well,
if somebody makes the number of errors in davening for the yomid, he is the shliach tzibur for the congregation. I think we discussed that.
It's a good question, really. I mean, it's a difficult question because I like to encourage people to get up over there to daven, even if I know they're not going to be 100% perfect. But on the other hand, if the person goes up to daven time after time after time after time, and there's no improvement, then that's already I begin to question whether that's the right thing.
I see your point too.
That's all he's praying for the yomid, for the whole call.
Yeah, that's true. And we'll have a reference to this basic idea, too, as we go along. We'll see. So, it's a very good point that we're making. No question. All right. Now, the Mishnah continues, and it wants to know, Mehechon hu matzchil. Where should he begin? In other words, you know, the second person going up to the Yomid. Where does he begin the davening? So, the Mishnah says, Mitchilas ha-brocha shetohazeh. Says he begins davening from the beginning of the bracha where he made his mistake. Now, what this means, this we will have to determine a little bit later on, because we see it's not as simple as it seems over here in the Mishnah. So when we learn the Gemara on this evening, Yotzah Hashem, we'll see that there is a difference of opinion as to exactly what is the meaning of the Mishnah over here. All right. Then the last part of the Mishnah deals with the fact that, first of all, a chazan, that the chazan who is standing before the omud, when the kohanim go up to say the birkas kohanim, he should not answer omein. Why? Because he's liable to get balled up. He is supposed to remember what he's saying. And as I explained to you last week, it's written Omor Lohem, which means that the Kohanim have to be told what to say. So the Chazan himself has to concentrate on saying Yivarechecho, Hashem, the Yishmarecho, and then, you know, everybody, after the Kohen says the Yishmarecho, everybody says Omein, right? But he is not to, because he has to bear in mind, oh, my next word is going to be your ear, and so on. Okay, so that this is the way it should be. Then, of course, the Mishnah deals with the next problem. Okay? V'yimein shem kohen elahu. What if he's the only kohen who is present? Then in that particular case, it says, Lo Yisoes Kapov. If he is davening for the Omud, then he should not say the Birkas Kohanim. He should not go up to Dukhan at that point. However, now there's a clause. The clause says, Im Haptoch Asosha, who knows he is Kapov. However, if he is certain that he can Dukhan, the Chozel Tfiloso, and he'll know how to get right back to his davening, in other words, to say Sim Shalom, then in that particular case, Rashai, he's permitted to do so. Well, I have to tell you, we have a chazan now for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur who is a Kohen. This we discovered because we wanted to give him an aliyah, and that we were going to call somebody else. We assumed, you know, that we had only Yisraelim present this Shabbos afternoon for Mincha, and lo and behold, he comes up and he says, hey, I'm a Kohen. So naturally we gave him the aliyah, you see. We had to rearrange immediately on the spot the aliyahs. But that being a Kohen, this is a very important principle as to whether he's going to Dukhan or not. But of course, remember, in this particular case, he is not the only Kohen in the congregation. Right. You understand? So that there are other Kohanim who will be Dukhaning, and the question as to whether he should or not, since it says over here, V'yim ein shom kohen elohu, right? If there is no other kohen, then lo yisoh es kapov. He shouldn't.
Well, somebody could take his place for that period of time.
Yes, it is possible. I mentioned this last week that somebody else could simply do the mockery, in other words, to call out Yibarech Hashem Yishmarech, so that he could also, you know, duchen together with the other Kohanim. Right. This is a possibility, okay? And then he continues with Sim Shalom after that. Okay. So we'll see how it works out.
Okay.
But maybe I better alert the chazan. Alert the rabbi that we have a kohen.
He must know that. No.
I'm sure he knows. Yes. After all, he engaged him to begin with. Okay. Yes. Secondly, he was here for the first days of Pesach. Now Pesach, if I remember correctly, was on Shabbos and Sunday. Correct?
I believe.
Yeah. So. Right. With Shabbos and Sunday. So at least one day he should have.
One day you should have.
Yeah. Of course, we spoke about duchening in general last week. I mean, we mentioned the fact that whether to duchen on Shabbos or not, this depends on the minhag of the shul itself. That among many of the Litvish shuls and so on, the minhag was not to duchen on Shabbos. Why? So I explained to you because of the fact that they felt that this would be like a Torah tzibur, would be a burden upon the congregation. It would lengthen the Shabbos service, you know, the Shabbos Yom Tov service, even more by having Birkas Kohanim. This is the reasoning behind not to do it. But there are other shuls that don't accept it. And in those shuls that don't accept it, the Kohanim do go to Duchen. So what is the difference? Difference is as follows. You take a look in the Machzor, you know, the holiday prayer book, you'll see that during the time that the Kohanim recite the Bracha, some people are in the habit of saying Pesukim. Yivarechecha, so in the light spoken, Hashem, right? Hashem, 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 Kavach, Bechanan, etc., whatever it may be, and so on, okay? There are many great authorities who decried this whole practice, I have to tell you, okay? They decried it. They felt that this was an interruption and it did not belong in the service. And if a person should say the psukim, because this was his custom, so they said he should say it silently to himself and not say it aloud in order to interrupt. All right. But in those shuls where they do duchen on Shabbos, then the right thing is not to say the psukim, period. Okay? Just to listen to the Kohanim and to answer or main at the three. You know, at the end of the three psukim. Okay? All right. Tana Rabbanan. Sages taught us what? Oivel of Neyateva, it's of the story. It says that a person goes up to, you know, to the Omer, to Davin, so he has to refuse. This is what I said. He has to refuse. Why does he have to refuse? So as we said, so that it should not appear, you know, that you know, you're a very proud person. Let's take a look at the Rashi of that. We'll see in a second. You see what it says, Bas Nisan?
Yeah.
Okay. It says, V'lo yehi sar v'n yosishar, right? It says that he should not be a person who is stubborn at that particular moment. Why? L'fi she'or yodin theateva. Because the other people were going up, you know, to the Yomim, so Kishaomrim lo, when they say unto him, Leich, raid, you know, go down, so Rich was so raid. He has to refuse Pamachas once. Why? Kolomer, in other words, he's saying, Eini kedai lachach. I am not worthy enough of this honor of going up to Davin. Of course, it reminds you of the Hinnidi, you know.
Yes,
what does the Chassid say?
Hinnidi,
I don't have enough good deeds to my name. And, you know, Nirash Penivcha, and so on and so on. Right.
Right.
So, you know, the Chassid has to have humility. Some Chassid don't have humility.
Some even start from the back of the shul and so on.
Right.
The door.
Well, I mean, this is already. There's no law that says that, but it became sort of a custom amongst some chazanim, so that in Kadim over here they almost think that it is a law that the chazan has to go to
really?
The back of the shul.
Oh, really? Oh. I didn't know that they did it.
When I daven for the Yomim, I refuse to do it because there's no such law. But it's sort of a literal translation of the word in the Yomim. which literally means I'm going to ask the Rebbeinu Shalalem, you know, on behalf of the people of Israel. But, you know, they take the word, you know, I'm walking. Which is really a mistranslation of what the phrase means over here. But that was the basis of it. However, you know, just like, for example, some chazan back in the 19th century decided to put on a big hat with a big pom-pom on top. So now you can't be a chazan unless you wear a big hat with a pom-pom on top, okay? Or some other chazan decided that he would look real snazzy if he had like a tie, you know, ribbons that go out this way, bow ties. So, nope. So came a chazan this way.
Showbiz.
Right. It is actually the shawls. I mean, where? I mean, a Jew is supposed to wear a talis. He's supposed to wear a kittel on yom. This we can understand, okay? But the rest of that business, this is really showmanship. No. It's tradition.
So he refuses the first time.
Yeah, all right. So, in other words, the first time when he's refusing, what is he saying? He's saying, Eini kedai lechach. I'm not worthy for this honor. Kedamim mishvatan. As we'll say later on in the Gemara itself. But, of course, in the case of the first guy, you know, where the first man made a mistake, then in that case, then it's not right. Because it's a shame, you know. First of all, the first fellow feels embarrassed as a result of not remembering. So help out a person who is embarrassed, get him out of his confusion, out of his embarrassment. And therefore he should not, you know, pull the shtick of waiting and so on and so forth. Okay. Since we're on the Rashi, let's take a look what else he has to say in the next one over there. Okay, it says, Mitchilat HaBrochish Tozer. Remember that the Mishnah says that he should begin from the beginning of the Brocha in which he made his mistake, right?
Right.
So now Rashi has the following. He says, Imdileg Achas Min HaBrochas. If he skipped one of the Brochas, V'yomar Acheres. And he said a different Brocha. In other words, let's say, instead of saying Borech Aleinu, he suddenly ran to the Kabbish Shofar. We've had cases where, you know, the page would turn easily. When you give it a good yank or something, it turns over two pages or something.
Find
like
a new book.
Right.
A new pages.
So all of a sudden, you know, we see half of the Shmoneh is left out by the Chasam. We had a call back. What happens then if this man skipped one of the brachas? Okay? And he said a different bracha in the Shmoneh. The Yenu Yodeh Lo Shuvalech Sidra. And he's so lost, he's so far tumult that he doesn't know how to go back and, you know, to get back in the proper order of saying the brachas. So, Yatzchil Hoiva Tachtov Esa Bracha. Then the person who goes up to replace him should begin the bracha where, you know, the bracha that he skipped, the Yom Mishamahal, and he starts over there, and he goes, as we would say, you know, in order from that particular point. Okay? Alright. Then, Loyana Omein Achar HaKohanim, Rashi tells us, Hashat. So, in other words, the chazan should not answer Omein, the so called bracha, at the end of all the brachas. Now, naturally, which brachas we're talking about? Not talking about the brachas that the chazan makes, because you don't answer Omein to your own bracha. Those who listen to you have to answer Amen in order to be Yotze. There's only one bracha that we say in which we say Amen to our own bracha. Which bracha is that?
In benching.
Right. The Beinu Barach Shalayim Amen. Why the Amen crept in over there, I am not sure. Because strictly speaking, it should have been Beinu Barach of Yerushalayim. Okay? This is what it should have been. Or, it's another version that we have, is simply Baruch HaTvar Hashem Bonei Yerushalayim. It's another version of the same bracha. Okay? In other words, that version is like in the Shmoneh Esrei, Baruch Hashem Bnei Yerushalayim. Okay, but we added Baruch Hamav, so it's been Baruch Hamav Yerushalayim. But the custom began, you know, to say Amen, and so we do it again.
Okay. When you say Kaddish, you say Amen.
Yeah, what you're saying is we Imru Amen and say you Amen.
Okay.
So that
Amen.
You're you really prompting Amen. The people as to what they should say. That's the reason why. Okay. And by the same token, unlike many chazanim who don't know that the chazan is supposed to say Yehesh Bei Rabba together with the congregation, I mean, I've seen the chazanim, they get up, you know, Yemaru Amen, Yizkaral Abinu Vat Yishtabab, so they don't know that the din is that they must say Yehesh Bei Rabba.
Part of the
like
field,
I told you once, I heard Shames tell a bar mitzvah boy, he says, you don't say modim, you're not allowed to say modim. You start, you have to, you know, after Masir Shem Nasur Tzion, the next thing you say is Hatov Kilo Kol Rachamecha. Which of course is an indication that James doesn't know what the law is. I mean, that you're supposed to say modim and after law, it should be said in its entirety by whoever goes up to daven for the yomer.
Exactly.
This is the right thing. Not, you know, to start from Hatov Kilo Kol Rachamecha. Not everybody goes up to daven for the yomer is aware of that. Okay. Anyway, getting back over here.
Okay.
All right. All right. I want to go on with the Gemara then. All right. So it says Yisorev. Rashi says Kishomim lo leich yase atzbeik leirotze. He should pretend that he doesn't want to go. Kloma eini kedai, in order to show that he feels that I'm not really worthy of going up with this honor. Okay. We continue with the Gemara. All right. The imenu mesorif, says the Gemara, and what if he doesn't refuse, but instead he runs up to daven as soon as they say go up to daven, and he runs. Okay. Then in that particular case, doimel tapshin, he says shebe mela. Then he's like a dish in which there is no salt, whatever. In other words, it's an action which is tasteless. Okay. It's a tasteless action to run up. The yim mesorav yosim and I, but what if he refuses more than he should? Then in that case, the Gemara says, "Doimel tapshu sheik dichto melo." So it's like a dish in which there simply has been too much salt poured in over there. So keitzadu oisah. So what should he do? So pam rishono yisori. The first time he refuses, he says, "Nah." Shniyo, the second time, mahapev. Mahapev means like he flickers. In other words, he hesitates, okay? Usually the word mahapev is used in connection with a candle. Candle, you know, you say ner mahapev, right? So it means that the candle is flickering. So he should flicker. Not come out directly.
Wavers.
Right, wavers. He wavers, okay. Shlishis, but the third time, pushing his ragwa, he stretches out his feet and he goes over there. In other words, then he goes out.
Yorid.
Okay. Pushing his ragwa, yorid. He stretches out his feet, yorid. And literally, he goes down. Now, I explained to you last week, why does it say go down over here? Because of the fact that by tradition, where the chazan stood was supposed to be lower than the floor of the bima. Why? Because it's written, Mimah Makim Karosicha Hashem. Out of the depths have I called upon you, O Lord. And since David HaMelech said, Mimah Makim, in other words, when we pray to God, it should be out of the depths. Of course, what David HaMelech meant, out of the depths of our heart, right. Our distress and everything else, we should feel, you know, that we have our tzoras that we want to communicate with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam and seek his help. So that's it. But you know, it's taking a very literal one. And there are shuls in Europe where actually where the chazan stood was lower than the rest of the bima in order to fulfill this. Okay, we continue.
Tana Rabba,
another teaching. It says Shlosha, there are three things that Ruban Kosher. If you have a lot of it, then literally it's difficult. In other words, it's not very good. But if you have just a little, yofe, then it's good. It's beautiful. The Elohim, what are these three things? They are seor, yeast. In other words, a little yeast is good, but put in too much yeast and what happens?
Right.
You'll have a disaster, okay? Umelach. Salt, a little salt is good for taste and so on, but put in too much salt and we know what the problems are. And the sarbonus. Sarbonus means the stubbornness, literally, but it means, you know, being too stubborn, you know, when they ask you to go up to the day of the yom. Okay? But it means in general, you know, stubbornness. Don't be such a stubborn person. A little bit, okay, we can understand, but a lot.
You have to. It's interesting. What we're going over predicates on the person who is asking you, how he responds to your reaction.
Right.
because you are now going through, let's say, three quick phases. I'm supposed to say three quick phases.
Yeah.
But somebody could say, you said no.
Yeah, that's right. The Gabbai says, you know, they run to the next person and ask him to get up. True. It all depends, I guess, upon how anxious the person is to go up the top. Some, they love the brettle, as they say in French. Mm-hmm. You heard the expression?
Yes.
The brettle.
The brettle. The brettle is a wooden board in front of the reading desk, okay? And in front of the dinner. In many shuls we have it. We used to have, well, first of all, there are many shuls where I've seen it. You know, you have to remember also something else. We have carpeting up on the bima, okay? But once upon a time, shuls didn't have the luxury of having carpeting. They didn't have house beautiful committees, you know, to make carpeting in the shul.
They had to stand on concrete.
So what did the chazan stand on? So he stood on a wooden board that was placed. Along came Lefkowitz as our chazan, and he made an improvement upon
that. He made that little...
Yeah, he was the one who had it built for him. Right. How did I discover? Not only did it happen, but subsequently I had occasion to daven in the shul in Rhode Island, in Providence. And Lefkowitz had been the chazan over there before. And they said to me at that particular time, maybe you would like to use this. Our chazan, he said, his voice resounded beautifully when he stood upon this little platform. So he is the author of the platform.
Is he still a cantor?
Oh, yes, yeah. He's a cantor in Queens. He's been in the congregation for quite some time right now. Mm-hmm. In Kew Garden Hills.
Right.
Yeah. It's a conservative congregation. It's a
really?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He went conservative when he lived over here.
Hmm.
Well, listen.
Yeah, okay.
He had a habit that he had to support.
He didn't support us. Everybody else.
The Tony Schneider Lashon
Hara.
All right. Now they're getting back to the problem about, you know, where do you make a mistake and what do you do if you make a mistake? All right. Omer Abkhamarav, Huna said as follows. He says, Tov, the Sholosh Mishoinois, if a person made a mistake during the first three brachas of the Shmona Esrei, right? In other words, anywhere beginning with, you know, always with Bochad Hashem Yaakov, you made any mistake through there until you finish Hoela Kodosh, then what do you have to do? Chozer LaRosh. You have to start in all over again, right? You have to start Shmonesa over again. Okay? How about then Soyuz? What if you made a mistake somewhere in the middle brachas of the Shmona Esrei? And in that case, Rav Huna says, Chozer liyatochinen. Then you have to go back, he says, to atochinen umdans. Okay? And start all over from that point. Not start from the beginning of the Shema Esrei, but you do have to start from atochinen. Okay? Bach roinois, what if you made a mistake in any of the last three brachas, meaning, you know, Ritzei, Modim, Motzim, Shalom, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then in that particular case, he says, Chozer l'avodah. You have to go back to the beginning of Ritzei. Okay? So this is Rabbi Huna's opinion. The Ravasi Omar, Ravasi said, and so he's in the Hinseda. He says, no, when it comes to the middle brachas that we say, he says there is no definite order among them. Even though, frankly, there are other Gemaras where they quote, for example, you know, Hol Hashem Neyedim, Hol Hashem Kod Vos, etc., etc., you know, in order to show that there is a definite order, a progression. We learned that a long, long time ago, that, you know, they find psukim in order to show that there is a definite progression in the Shmona Esrei. Still, says Ravasi, in reality, there isn't any. I mean, what would happen if, for example, let's say you said, Slachlonu, right, before Hashiva, or whatever it may be. I mean, in other words, you didn't go exactly in the order. Then he says you don't have to go back to the beginning, but if you made a mistake, whatever it may be, so then as long as you said a bracha, so in other words, you wouldn't have to repeat that particular bracha that you recited. Mm-hmm. Okay? As we'll see, there's disagreement about all this. Okay.
Okay.
Massive Rav Sheshes. All right. So Rav Sheshes asked the kasha first of all. Yeah, Menachem, you're welcome to it. Please take it.
Yeah, but no, I have to go.
Yeah, fine, but I say, if you want to take the, yeah, please take it with our compliments, okay?
Yeah.
Welcome to you. Guten Nacht. Tzivach Sima Teva, if we don't see each other before Yontif. Is Betty here?
Yes, she's outside.
Oh, okay. All right. So, who held the Torah? Yes. All right. So it says, now, Rab Oz, yeah. Matzav Rab Sheshes. So Rab Sheshes has the following kasha. It says, look. Mehechon chul chozer min chilat sabocha shet chozer. Right? Doesn't the Mishnah say, where does he begin from? He begins from the beginning of the bracha in which he made a mistake. In other words, you go back again to the bracha. So in that case, he says, Teyufto, this is then a contradiction to Rav Huna, to what Rav Huna had to say. Because what did Rav Huna say? Rav Huna said, if you remember, that he has to go back to the Ato Choine, if he made a mistake, right? So Amar L'cho Rav Huna, so Rav Huna said, no, you didn't understand me, he says. Emsoyis, he says, Kuchu Chalabir Chesonin, he says, the middle brachas is really one great big bracha. So, in other words, what? If you made a mistake, you go back to the beginning of the bracha. But what is the beginning of the bracha? Ato Choine. So he says, you see, I'm right, you're wrong. Okay. We got a great big Tosfos, and I'd like to go into the Tosfos over here because it's interesting to see how they analyze and dissect and agree or disagree, you know, with the discussion going on over there. All right, you see where it says Emsois Ein Lahen Seder.
The big word.
Yeah, it's, you know, below, down below.
Oh, all okay, right. Yeah.
You see where it says
Emsois.
This is what Tosfos says. He says, Perish Bekintras, he says, Rashi said, V'yimdileg brocha achas, if he skipped a brocha. V'yachakach nizkabo, and then he remembered it, Shelo b'mekomo, you know, not where it says, Omro b'mokam shenizka. Then he says this brocha wherever he suddenly remembers he didn't say it. Okay. Now he says, well, no nehira, he says, but I, that's not clear to me that this is really right. Why? The Hortanam b'Megillah, because we learned in the Gemara Megillah as follows. It's written over there, HaKoreis HaMegillah L'Mapreya L'Yotza. If a person reads the Megillah, you know, Megillah Sester, Purim, and he reads it not in its proper order. Let's say he started with chapter 2, and then he decided, oh, I better go back to chapter 1, or something like that. So it says L'Yotza. He's not Yetzer with it, right? In other words, the Megillah has to be read exactly in the order in which we find it. Okay? Bitanya, and the Gemara adds the following over there in the Gemara in Megillah. It says, V'chein v'Hallel. It says, the same thing applies in Hallel. What would happen in Hallel if you said any of the passages out of order? So you have to say them in the proper order in order to fulfill the mitzvah of reciting Hallel. V'chein the Kriyashma. The same thing is true of Kriyashma. What if we want to say Behoyim Shemoa, for example, before, let's say before Shema Yisrael or something like that? You're not Yetzir that way. Okay? Vechein B'Tfilah. And likewise, says the Gemara over there, this also applies to the Shemoneh Esrei. So Lechach, therefore, says Nira Keferish Rashba. He says, therefore, it seems to me that we should accept the interpretation of the Rashbam, the Rav Alpes, and also Rav Alpes. The Ein Lehen Seder, the Ka Omar, that where Rav Asi said that they have no order, it means Hainu Sheyaschil B'Mekoyim Shedileg HaBrocha. It means that he should start from the place, from the Brocha that he skipped. In other words, let's say you said Atochenun Das, okay? And then, instead of saying, Hashiveinu Avinu, alright? Instead he says Slachlanu Avinu instead. Okay. So what should he do? He doesn't have to go back to Ato Choine according to their interpretation, but what should he do? He goes back to Hashiveinu Avinu, and then he continues in the right order from that particular text. This is what they're saying. Okay, this is how they understand it. Right, he should begin from the point where he skipped over the bracha. From that point on, Yomar Hakol Al HaSeder. Right, he should do everything in the right order. But he does not begin, in other words, doesn't have to go back again to Atachon in the way, you know, Rav Chisda said, alright? Kimo Begimel Rishonis, as in the first three brachas where we said that if he made a mistake, everybody's in agreement, what?
That
you have to go back. Right. Or Begimel Achronis, and the same thing, if you made a mistake
in the last three brachas,
you know, for Ritzayon, then you have to go back to Ritzayon, right? Shechoz El Rosh, where you must begin again. Now, for Ayah, he says, and I have, you know, proof, Midatanya B'Tosefta, from something that we learned in the Tosefta, the Bechilton of Brochus, where it's written, HaKore Yeshma, V'Hishmin Bo Posek Echod, what happens if a person is saying Krishna, and he left out a Posek? So, Lo Yikro is a Posek of the Yatzmo, then he does not recite this Posek simply Stam in the Veltarain. But Elomaskalni is a pasuk. He starts from that particular pasuk, the Eilach, and then he goes right. The Gomer Atzayfa, and he continues, you know, right until he's completed Krishna. In other words, what doesn't he have to do? He does not have to, let's say, go back to Bohem Shema if he left out a pasuk. But he starts from the pasuk where he made a mistake. And then he continues in order. Betanya Nami Beferik Beis the Megillah, and we also learn likewise in the second chapter of Megillah. He says. The Sheim Hishmit Pasuk Echad Megillah, that if he left out a Pasuk in the Megillah, Shekori Al HaSeder is a Pasuk, then he starts with that Pasuk and he reads in order from that point on. The Hosom Mashvei Tfilim Megillah LeInyan Hach, and there in the Gemara Megillah they compare Shemin Esra to the Megillah as far as this is concerned. Milsik the Farishis, just as I've already explained and so on. And okay, Bahalochas Gedolos Posak Keravasi, and there in the Halachas he paskin that like Ravasi, that the middle ones don't have a definite order, but as we see there is an order. But the point being that you don't have to go back again to the very beginning, but start from where you left, and in that particular case. If it meant Ein Lahen Seder, that it doesn't mean that there's no order in that. You can simply mix it any which way you want. What it means by Ein Lahen Seder is that you don't have to start with Atachonein and, you know, then eventually reach the place where you made a mistake, but you can start from the beginning of the broken where the mistake was made and continue from that point. All right, let's get back to our text right now.
Okay.
Well, actually, there's a little bit more of the Tosfos, which is very interesting because it deals with Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. All right, so let's skip a little bit, okay? We'll go down a little bit more in the Tosfos, and I'll tell you where. All right. The other Rabbasu Rab Sheshus Kaimer Yes Bechat Shita, so that actually they're in agreement in the final analysis. We've really given an interpretation, because what did Rab Chisda say? He said, when I say it's all one, it means that you begin. But in reality, he says, not so far apart. Okay. But, alright. And then he says, Od Bishel Sofrim Halach Achamekel. Says in something that the, here we have an important principle, that if this is a law of the Sofrim, in other words the law which was ordained by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, then in that case Halach Achar Meichel, we go and we follow the more lenient opinion. We have in general the following principle, that if it is a mitzvah del Raisa, in other words a mitzvah that is actually commanded in the Torah, and you know we don't know how to interpret it, then in that case what do you have to do? You have to go halach l'chumra, you have to go according to the more stringent interpretation. But in Divrei Sofrim, then you can go after the more lenient opinion in that particular case. The Yimkein, therefore, he says, in that case, Odom Shator, the Dilek Brocha Achas Ben Tzoyes. What if a person, you know, skipped one of the Brochas in the middle ones? Oh, Shalom Amar HaMelech HaMishpat. Or he didn't say HaMelech HaMishpat, you know, which is the concluding of Hashiv Shoteinu. Bein Rosh Hashanah the Yom HaKippurim, right? The Kaimalon, the Perikama, and there we learned in the first chapter in Brochas, the Marzirin or so, that they have him repeat. So, Lo Yachso the Atochene, he does not have to go back again to Atochonen, Elo Le'isa Brocha Shadili. But rather he goes back again to the Brocha that he skipped. From that point on, Yom HaSedem, Kedefeirish Rashbam, as the Rashbam explained. Ve'heicho Shatov Yom HaShoneis, but if he made a mistake in the first three brachas, kigon shetor bechasim asan, let's say he gave the wrong ending to the brachas. In other words, instead of saying Mogen Avram, he said maybe Mechaya Hamesim, or maybe he said Mogen David, or something like that, okay? Instead of Mogen Avram. Or, lo hizkir, or he did not mention Bein Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, in the period beginning of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Bein Birkas Obos, you know, in the first bracha, the Shmanes was Zochreinu, right? Zochreinu L'chaim, or B'tchias HaMeisim, Micham Ocho, or in the second bracha, he forgot to say Micham Ocho, or Shalom Amar HaMelech HaKadosh, or he did not say HaMelech HaKadosh, Chozer L'Rishono, then he has to go back right to the beginning of the Shmona Esra, okay? And then they say, Be'echo Shetor B'Sholosh Achroinu, so what if he made a mistake in the last three brachas? Kigoyin Shetor, as for example, he made a mistake, Kimochem B'chatzim Osam, let's say he put the wrong ending on the bracha. Oh, Shalom Hiskir Bein Rosh Hashanah L'Yom HaKippur M'sim Shalom Sefer Chaim Tevin, right? Or he forgot to say B'Sefer Chaim in, you know, between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur.
Right.
Oh, Uchsov L'Chaim Tevin, B'Hoidor, or, you know, Uchsov L'Chaim Tevin in Modim. So Chayzer La'Avodah, he should begin again with say the Talmud, and the reason being the Kevin Shekula Sheva Chaviki Brachachas. The reason being because the first three brachas are praise of God, and likewise the last three, and therefore it is as if it is one great big.
But if he makes a mistake, he leaves out the sentence for Rosh Hashanah or the Tshuva.
Right.
The first three brothers, you got to go back to the beginning again, right?
But if someone catches him and yells it out, then we generally don't go back.
Of course, of course. In that case, look, we have a principle that says, in other words, within a moment's time, you know, you can correct yourself, then it cancels out the mistake. No question about that, okay. However, I do want to say, okay, so Tosfos presented a very good business, you know, as far as Zochreinu L'Chaim and so on and so forth, the Melech HaKodesh, the Melech HaMishpat, and so on. I have to tell you now that the Shulchan Aruch is not exactly in agreement with Tosfos. In other words, you know, although Tosfos is a great authority, but sometimes the later authorities come along and they don't accept it, okay? And we've had reasons for that too. All right. So what is the din, since it's we're by Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur already? If we forget to say Zochreinu L'Chaim, or B'Chaim Ocho, or, you know, so B'Chaim Tovim, or B'Sefer Chaim, what is the din? The answer is you do not have to repeat the bracha. If you remember before you said Baruch Ato Ad Hashem, then definitely you go back and say it. But if you've already said Baruch Ato Ad Hashem, Mogen Avraham, then in that case, don't go back to Zochreinu. Okay? The same thing with, you know, Mechaya HaMesim. You said already Mechaya HaMesim, don't go back and say Micham Ocho. All right. Why? So the answer is because these phrases were not part of the original Shmoneh Esrei. These were added by the Gaonim, by the great rabbis, you know, in the post-Talmudic period. And because of that fact, therefore it doesn't have exactly the same status. Right, the same weight or status, whatever you want to say, as compared to the regular Nusach of the Davening that we have. So therefore, in this particular case, the Shulchan Aruch paskens that we can be more makel. And, you know, if we've already said the Bracha, then we don't go back and say it over again. All right, but now it comes to two other things. Melech Ha'ev Tzedokah Mishpot, when we're supposed to say what? Ha'melech Ha'mishpot, right? And Ha'melech HaKodesh. Here again, the rule is, as we learned previously when we discussed it for the first time in Brachas, Ha'melech HaKodesh, if we forget to say it, we should immediately say Ho'el HaKodesh, if we can remember. If not, we should go back again to the beginning of the Shemoneh Esrei. Here is where the law of going back to the beginning does apply, okay? But if, for example, as I said, we said Ho'el HaKodesh, oh, Ha'melech HaKodesh, that's okay. You're Yotzi, you don't have to repeat for me. Okay? That's all right. That's Tov Kedegi, the Hebrew, as I said. All right. Now, what about Ha'melech HaMishpot, which you're supposed to say during the 10 days of repentance? Okay? So there the law is a little bit more makel in this particular case, even though it's mentioned in the Gemara that you're supposed to, and even though, as we see, the Rashbam said you have to repeat from Atochenin and everything else, all the people who are, you know, machmirim, all right, those who give the more severe interpretation, they say you should go back to Atochenin, but the law is you don't have to. The law is that you don't have to. Why? Because when we say Melech Ho'ev Tzedokah Mishpot, we have the word Melech there, and we also have the word Mishpot over there. So therefore, if by mistake we forgot to say HaMelech HaMishpot, then we don't have to repeat that. So we're Yotze with that. But naturally, we should make every attempt to remember. In other words, when we daven, we should really have our mind on the davening, and try to remember to say the right phrases at the right time of the year. Okay. Continuing with the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Yehuda. Le'yodom al Yishalonim Tzrochov. Rabbi Yehuda said, a person should never ask his own private petitions, lo b'sholosh rishonos v'lo b'sholosh achronos, neither in the first three brachas nor in the last three brachas. But where does he say? He says in the middle ones. Therefore, if you have something that you want to add, like for example in Shema Kolenu, you can put in your own little prayer if you want to. So that's the right place for it. The Yomar Rab Chanino, and this is based on the statement of Rabbi Chanino, that what? Rishonos, he says, the first three brachas is Doim Eliyevet Shemesad Shevach Lei Rabbi. He says those are similar to a servant who orders his praise before his master. In other words, he approaches his master, and the first thing he does is to praise his master. He wants to make his master feel good. So I don't say that we have to make the Rabbeinu Shalom feel good, but nevertheless, what do we start with? We start with words of praise. We praise him for being our God, the one who will bring redemption to us, and we praise him for restoring the dead to life, and causing the wind to blow and the rain to fall, and helping those who fall, healing the sick, etc., etc., and then of course that he is holy, his name is holy, etc., etc. Okay, the holy being. Yes. Pras, right. All right. Now Emzois, he says, the middle brachas, he says, is like a servant, Shemavakesh Paras Barabbah, who's asking for a reward. Paras means a reward over here. He's asking for a reward from his master. In other words, here is where we ask the Rebbeinu Shelolam, please grant us a favor. Please give us this, please give us that. Okay. Achroinois, the last brachas is Daimon the Yevet Shekibel Paras Barabbah. We are then like the servant who has received his reward from his master. And then he asks permission and he departs. In other words, when we step back, so to speak, we are completing the Shemoneh Esrei and we are bowing our way out from the presence of our master, and we are sure that our petition has been granted by him. Tana Rabbah, sages tell us that my